Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to be sharing with you today about misophonia and how misophonia can affect a relationship. And what is misophonia? Misophonia is sound intolerance, the intolerance of certain sounds. Can you think of a time where there was someone tapping their pen and you couldn't ignore it? Or maybe the constant sound of someone chewing their food loudly puts you off your food. Misophonia is when these noises are intolerable to you. It causes you to feel extremely uncomfortable, can create panic inside you, and urges you to leave the area where the noise is, and in some cases can bring on extreme rage. Misophonia is defined as a disorder in which certain sounds trigger emotional or physiological responses that some might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstances. Although misophonia is not life-threatening, it can have such a huge impact on your life and could potentially affect your ability to maintain relationships. A person who suffers from misophonia may feel that they cannot be as sociable as they want to be because they fear they will be judged for reacting to sounds that they cannot physically tolerate. And this actually, when I discovered misophonia, was a real wake-up call to me because for children, she would go absolutely crazy if a bag was rattling in the back of the car. She would invite us to come in and watch TV and sit next to her. And within a few minutes, we would have to leave because we were making a sound, eating our food, or doing something else sound-wise that would irritate her. And we ended up all our childhood having a room for the children and a room for my mum to watch TV and chill out by herself. And when I realised this, I thought, gosh, she probably couldn't help it. She literally used to go to absolute rage by certain sounds. And I think sometimes I've had this myself in life where a certain sound will just get so unbearable that it'll literally make me want to scream. But thankfully, this has only happened a few times. So I wanted to talk to you about misophonia and marriage. In a marriage, two people are so close to one another that it becomes difficult to ignore sounds that evoke reactions in you. For example, if it is loud chewing that makes you mad and your spouse is someone that tends to chew their food loud or make noises that irritate you, it can cause problems in your marriage for both parties. The person who suffers from misophonia may be worried to explain their feelings to their spouse in case they offend them or hurt them. On the other hand, the person who makes a sound may not understand their spouse's misophonia and intolerance to such sounds and may disregard them as being rude or unreasonable or difficult. And sometimes it can be confusing because if resentment has built up, annoyance at each other can grow. I'm going to share a couple of case studies that I worked with misophonia. The first couple I worked with was Andy and Sarah. Andy and Sarah came to me about an ongoing issue that they were struggling to deal with. They had been best friends throughout school and college. However, when they got to university, they made the decision to move in together. And as with any couple who move in together, they noticed things that they would do which would annoy each other. Like Andy leaving his dirty towel on the floor, and water all over the bathroom, or Sarah wanting to watch her reality TV programs all night, or be channel flicking. They were able to work through certain things like Andy's cleanliness and taking in turns when it came to Netflix shows. But there was one particular thing that really took their toll on the marriage: Sarah's hatred of certain noises. The problem was that Andy felt he could not control some of the noises he was making. And this really agitated Sarah. For example, he would breathe deeply when he was suffering from a cold, or blow his nose, or how he tapped his foot when he was nervous. The issue was that when Andy was nervous or sick, he would want compassion and care from his wife. Instead, he had to figure out ways that Sarah was able to stand being in the same room as him, as he coped with either the illness or the nervousness. In Andy's mind, it was so irrational, but to Sarah, those noises just were things that she couldn't ignore. They really created an innate, raging reaction in Sarah, and she was finding it harder and harder to control, snapping, getting moody, removing herself, slamming the door, things like that. Thankfully, both Andy and Sarah were open to couple support, and we worked out solutions to help them make living and dealing with misophonia together much easier. Sarah needed an escape and a calming routine, and it also helped her to release past resentments from earlier experiences in the relationship. The more in love with Andy she was, the lesser the irritability, although it still was uncontrollable from her reactions. That was until we also did some hypnotherapy work to work on the deeper subconscious level. So when these noises come up, to give in a different reaction to the stress and the anger. So with the hypnotherapy, she was able to really change her irritability. Of course, when noises come up that she's not planned for, we couldn't do the hypnotherapy for that. So there is the odd occasion that she still may be triggered. But in general, for the relationship, it really has turned a massive corner for her. And Andy also did the best he could to show empathy, remove himself, and minimize the triggers where necessary, and also was there for her during holidays or family get-togethers to make excuses and to help her with it. And since then, it's lessened and lessened. And not only that, another result is that they now laugh at the misophonia. They're able to see the funny side. And now when Andy eats crisps whilst watching the football game, he turns up the volume and they have a little smile. And Sarah finds that on some days it bothers her, on some days it doesn't. And when she's feeling triggered, she will just listen to a hypnotherapy to feel calm and return back to her normal, loving, bouncy self. The next couple I worked with recently, and I've worked with many couples in between the misophonia, so there's lots of examples and support I can give if you are suffering with this and would like to book a free relationship strengthening session with me. You can just go to my website nicolabeer.com, or you can email me nb@nicolabeer.com if you would like some support with this. The second couple were actually struggling with their newborn baby. They had been trying for many years to have a child, and they were blessed with a beautiful baby girl. One of the hardest things about parenthood is hearing your baby cry and wanting to calm it. But can you imagine finding out that your own baby's cry is completely intolerable to you, where it drives you up the wall? This was the case for Mark and Karen. Mark and Karen had prayed for a baby for years, but the time was never right. And although Mark had been around children before, he had never been a parent or had a newborn baby in his care. It is only when his wife gave birth and he was alone in the hospital with a baby that he realized that he could not stand the sound of a newborn baby crying, not even his own baby. Mark felt disgusted with himself, and he was so ashamed to tell anyone, especially not the nurses or his wife Karen. The first few weeks of fatherhood, Mark did whatever he could to help his wife stop their daughter Isabella from crying. He would leave the baby with his wife's mum in the house when it was his turn to look after her, and then spent hours walking around outside in the garden, pretending to be on the phone, or pretending to fix or do things, praying that Isabella would be asleep by the time he went back inside. One day it all got too much for Mark, and he blurted it out to Karen that he couldn't handle Isabella crying. Karen told him that it's normal as a parent not to want a baby to cry, but she didn't understand how badly it was affecting him. Needless to say, Mark spent a lot of time making excuses to be away from Isabella and made sure he was never alone with her. This deeply upset Karen, as she wanted her daughter to have a close bond with her father. It was only when she mentioned it to a friend that her friend mentioned misophonia. Finally, it all made sense to Karen, and so she decided to seek help and found my other articles that I've written on misophonia, how to know if you have misophonia, and help with my husband having misophonia or my wife having misophonia. I worked with them both separately, first to understand what was causing the most stress and ideas to resolve it. I always work with a couple individually first and then together, because when couples come together, it's essential to be focusing on solutions, action steps, and the future. Too many couples go and get marriage counselling online or in their local area and repeat all the problems, which make people feel more stressed and more annoyed. And if you haven't checked out my podcasts on the dangers of marriage counselling and how to make marriage counselling effective, I really recommend you check them out, because I believe focusing on 10% of the problem, 90% of the solution. Moving forward with actions, clearing negativity, clearing resentment, great communication skills, working with a couple individually and then together is the most powerful way to create lasting change. Because often when people will just go to a session, everything comes out, often in a scattered, hurtful, aggressive way, and then that's what you go home and remember. And that's why it's important. You can talk calmly, offer solutions, create actions to help you really turn that corner. So with Mark and Karen, we worked out a way to manage the care of Isabella so that Mark could engage as much as possible with her and escape if he needed to, in a peaceful way without guilt. Mark's anxiety, guilt and fears that he was a terrible father lessened, and their love grew stronger and stronger as Karen loved and accepted him through it. And she now jokes that she will have this responsibility happily for their children in the younger years, and he can take over the whole of the teenage years of the children and give her a rest then. And their relationship is so much happier now, they are planning to have another baby. There are so many more cases where misophonia affects sufferers deeply. And as you can see from the case studies, there are lots of feelings of shame and guilt when certain sounds are evoking unwanted or inexplainable responses. However, it's important for us to remember that whilst others may perceive these as difficult reactions, they are involuntary and need attention rather than to pretend that they just don't exist. Although the exact cause of misophonia is unknown, neuroscientists believe it has to do with the abnormal connectivity in the brain between the limbic system, which controls emotions, and the autonomic system, which controls flight or fight responses, and the auditory cortex, which controls how we process sounds. It has been linked with extra sensitive hearing as well. So if you have this, you're more than likely to have extra sensitive hearing. You're going to hear things that other people don't hear. And that's why it may feel very lonely having this, not understanding why other people aren't hearing or getting affected in the same way that you are. Understanding how deep misophonia is will help you to explain this to others and make changes in life that make it easier to manage your symptoms if you are suffering. Thankfully, there are ways that help people who suffer misophonia to deal with those sounds that become intolerable and affect relationships. Some of those treatments are cognitive-based therapies, such as hypnotherapy, as I mentioned, can be very powerful. Also sound exposure therapy. And there's also other practical coping strategies, such as using earplugs where possible, putting music on if you're around a situation where you're with behavioural therapy. So therapy can work, and it's definitely better to do something than nothing. When you're living with someone who suffers from misophonia, of course it can be really challenging to maintain a happy relationship and can push you further apart. However, there are things you can do to support your spouse and build on your love for one another. For example, taking time to talk to your spouse through an episode where a sound is irritating them can help. Ensuring they carry something with them that reduces the impact of noise, like earplugs and distraction tools, like repeating positive affirmations to replace the rage they are feeling. Additionally, something that is also beneficial in a marriage where one person suffers from misophonia is to attend action-orientated couples support. Someone who is able to support both spouses in their marriage and has an understanding of misophonia is essential, that can give the positive action steps, show compassion and understanding. When two people love each other and are willing to do what they can to build their spouse's self-esteem and create a happy, loving and secure marriage, it's possible to overcome misophonia. Really, don't feel ashamed to seek individual or marriage support. And as I mentioned before, just be sure to choose a specialist that really has a plan. Not that you're going to turn up for sessions and just go back aimlessly. There needs to be a structure, a plan, a focus, and examples of where they've helped other people with similar things before. Whatever you do, whether you seek support or you manage it by yourselves, keep the channels of communication open so that you can both confide in each other when you're experiencing something that may build barriers between you. Poor communication is often one of the biggest contributors to divorce, which is why in all of my programs I focus on great communication skills, because we can all communicate when things are going really well. It's easy. Of course, it's second nature to us. But when we're feeling hurt, angry, triggered, disappointed, it can be really difficult to share our feelings, thoughts, fears, anxieties, and things may just come out wrong or create the opposite reaction that you want from your husband or wife. Maybe you're looking for a hug, reassurance, and you're getting defensiveness, blame, or shutdown. And by shutdown, I mean somebody walking away, refusing to talk about it. And this obviously then makes any relationship problem so much bigger if the communication isn't there. So I hope this has been useful to you, whether you suffer from misophonia or not, whether this is the first time you've heard of it. It's always good to be aware. From my heart to yours, have an awesome week ahead. Thank you so much for listening. I wouldn't be able to keep this show going if it wasn't for your support. If you have any suggestions for topics, please do feel free to reach out to me. nb@nicolabeer.com. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.